It's time for a talk on the wild side, where we get a chance to check in with Harry Hutchins, retired forest ecologist from Itasca Community College. Harry, thanks for being with us today.
Hi.
Hi, Harry.
Hey, it's good to hear you. Maybe I'll see you today.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, Harry, you're going to teach us some things today, some easy bird calls that we can start to pay attention to, right?
Yeah, and I heard that someone saw a bay-breasted warbler. I just mentioned that if you can see it, that's one thing, but if you can hear it, that's another. But they are extremely high-pitched and hard for most of us that are over 40 to hear anymore. So don't feel bad. Most humans can hear that high a note.
You know, and Harry, speaking of warblers, I actually got to hear a magnolia warbler this past week and didn't realize what I was listening to until I went and checked out the sound against the recording. And then I went, oh, my God, that's a magnolia warbler. At first, I thought it was a slowed-down oven bird. But once I listened to the song, I realized, nope, that's a magnolia. Yeah.
Well, where I'm going with all this, I'm hoping then next week we can talk about MacArthur's warblers on a spruce fir tree, and it's a famous study that was done back in the 1950s. And so, you know, I think it's interesting because a guy redid that study, and it's interesting how the bird community changed. Some birds dropped out, don't even exist there anymore, going there, and a couple new ones came in. So I want to talk about that next week, but, you know, you need to start learning some of these bird calls. And the way I did it was something that over in Duluth, Frank Nicoletti, the bird counter, the hawk counter, taught me, and he said, you know, you got to just keep following these birds and listen to them, watch them open up their beak and give the call. And so you find them. It takes a lot of time, but it really does work because it sets in with you, your mind. You see them singing. You hear them singing, you see the bird, and you remember that call forever. So anyways, I thought I'd start with the easy one. These are all birds that sing like a robin, including a robin. But, you know, they're just variations on a robin, and everybody knows the robin, so that's why I like to compare things to what I know. And Heidi, if you have a chance, if you have the robin, you can play that.
All right.
Okay, so that's the robin.
That's the robin.
And then the rose-breasted grosbeak, which we're seeing now. I've heard a bunch of kids and few adults have mentioned that. So I think if you go through your woods, you're probably hearing that in a mature hardwood forest or a second-growth hardwood forest. They're probably calling there. And so they're kind of like a fast robin.
Nice.
Robin on It's like a robin that's on caffeine.
Yeah, you told me once, and I still remember this. You said the rose-breasted grosbeak is like a robin that's been to singing, that's had singing lessons.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And so that's the rose-breasted. Who's next?
The next is the bird that's really tired. The red-eyed vireo. Red-eyed vireo. And now, and these are kind of like a slow-down robin.
And the thing I remember about red-eyed vireos, Harry, is that they seem to sing long after all the other birds have quit.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
They sing into July and August, and yeah.
Look at me, way up high, way up here. Yeah, and so, you know, and again, you put together some of the habitat stuff, and you put together the little phrases and the pattern of the voice, and you know, this is a good time still, and we'll listen to one other one at least. But, you know, one of the things I want to say is that this is the time when there's no leaves or there's very small leaves, so it's easy to see the bird. So I like going out this time of year because, you know, it's not lost in the foliage.
Yeah, I remember one year, probably back in the 90s, I sat in a lawn chair out in front of my garage listening to a red-eyed vireo sing in a birch tree, and I had my binoculars, and I searched that tree for, I'll bet you, 30 minutes before I found him.
And then the other one that I wanted to, that we could take a look at or listen to is the tanager.
The
scarlet tanager.
Scarlet tanager, yeah.
So it's like a robin, but a raspy robin.
I was going to say, kind of buzzy.
The app that I'm using describes it as an emphatic nasal chip bang.
Yep. Yeah, it's quite raspy, and, you know, just finished a cigarette or something, and it's just kind of...
Do they roll their own?
That's not a good one for the kids, but
no.
Anyways, it's...
But it is kind of a raspy sound. You're right. It's kind of grady.
But it's got that same robin cadence. It's got the same, you know, I don't know. It just sounds to me like a robin. And
sure.
So those are the robin pattern birds out there that are starting to sing that have arrived.
Well, that was wonderful. Go ahead.
Oh, one thing. So, like, when I hear someone saw a bay-breasted warbler, then I know that we've had a bunch of big south winds, and that atmosphere has brought these birds up. That's a real neotropical bird. So that came up from South America, the Bahamas. That came way up quickly. And now that it's arrived into its breeding area, might still have a little bit more to go in the northern Canada. But it's pretty much where it's going to breed. And so we know that, you know, it's our summer is here, and so that's a long distance to travel for a little bird.
Yeah, they do make a long journey, And we're grateful that they've decided to come through here so that we get a chance to see and hear them. Although, as you say, the bay-breasted is one that you and I probably aren't going to hear without the help of, I don't know. Ooh, there it is. Heidi just played it. Try again. Whew. Yeah, that is high. I don't know. I can hear it in my headphones, but I don't know if I could hear it outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Harry, thanks. And you say next week we're going to talk about...
Yeah, we're going to talk about MacArthur's warblers. And in other words, he looked at a spruce tree in Vermont and on the Adirondack area. And we're going to listen to or watch where the how do you do this? You know, we're going to take these warblers and how do they split up their niche? How do they, or if you're in, if you're Simon, the niche, and so where on the tree, are they, you know, why aren't they competing? Why?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
All right.
You know, MacArthur just sat there and said, oh, my God, these birds should be eating the same stuff. And how can they do that? How can they survive? And so we're going to take a look at how no two species can occupy the same niche at the same time.
All right. MacArthur's Warblers next week on Talk on the Wild Side. Harry, thanks so much for joining us. I'll see you later this morning.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.